at a little bit more about the soul and how to get a handle on that. Amen. How many people sometimes have trouble getting a handle on your soul? Yeah. Right. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? Our soul is what gets us in trouble. Amen. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will get you in trouble, but that's good trouble. All right. It's when you get into the bad trouble, when you do something and you go, oh boy, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have treated that person that way. I should not have, whatever, right? You say something to your spouse, and as soon as it comes out, you go, boy, I wish I could take that one back, right? All that stuff comes out of our soul. Amen? So, and if you think about this, everybody, where the devil and the enemy comes at us is at our soul, right? If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit in you, the devil can't do one thing to your spirit. Can I get amen? Because the devil is darkness and the Holy Spirit is light. If you go to a dark room, what do you do? Flip the light switch on. Where's all the darkness go? Boom, it's gone, just like that, right? So if we understand in the spirit, there's light and darkness. That's it. Amen. So if the Holy Spirit has joined himself with my spirit, there's nothing wrong with my spirit, right? It's my soul that all the junk is in, and the Bible talks about, again, this war we talked about a couple weeks ago, the war between the flesh and the spirit, right? Not the devil in the spirit, right? Paul ain't talking about the devil. He's talking about you now. You're saved. You're born again. There's still this thing going on inside you where your flesh is pulling at you. Your flesh wants to do certain things, wants to say certain things, wants to think certain things, wants to feel a certain way about something, right? And the Holy Spirit is also in there talking to you, saying, no, 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 that's not right. That's not how that was. Can I get amen? Right? We talk about the Word of God in Hebrews. It says the Word of God is what, church, living? Who can say it with me? And active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide between what? Soul and spirit. Soul and spirit, right? Your soul and your spirit are two different things. Can I get amen? So Matthew 11:28, we just heard JD, but we're going to read it again just because it's so good. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you, everybody say it together, rest. That rest is what, church? Temporary or permanent? Temporary, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will what? Find rest for your soul. That rest is what? Permanent, right? Permanent, right? For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, right? I said a couple Sundays ago, just for some quick review, right? We asked this question. How many people have ever thought that Jesus' burden was not light? How many thought his yoke is not easy, right? But as we heard, again, just heard JD talk about this a little bit, but what the Lord's really showing me is he says, every time that it does not feel easy to you or does not feel light, it's because you're jerking on the yoke, right? If you look at the farm animal setup, right, if the oxen or the donkey that's supposed to follow decides he wants to do his own thing, the yoke will rub him raw on his neck. Quick, yeah, and then now it rubs the skin, now he's bleeding, and it's that yoke is no longer comfortable. If that donkey or that animal just stays in the yoke and stays along with the one guiding it, the yoke doesn't do any damage at all. It's easy and it's light, right? We get messed up when we know the Lord is talking to us about something, and he wants to go right, we want to go left, right? And we all been there a few times since we got to church. It's, oh man. So a little bit of just review again, your church, so it's because it's so important, right? Jesus, look, we can be saved. I'm sure none of you have ever experienced this. You can be saved and still be a train wreck. Right. I mean, you can be saved, you can love Jesus with everything you know how to love him with, and still be a disaster, again, what's making my life a mess as a born again Christian is my soul. Right? It's my soul, because I've lived for X number of years with my soul calling the shots. Right? You say something to me, I get mad, I'm just going to let you have it. It's just how it is. Because I feel like I've got this right to defend myself and all these other things. You know what the Bible says? Don't defend yourself. And we all nod. I see some of you nodding until it's time to defend yourself. And then you're like, yeah, but this one really, this time it really matters, right? Lord, you don't know this particular one. I really got something to stand on this time. You know what the Holy Spirit's saying? Shut your mouth. Just shut up and walk away. But Lord, no. Amen. See, church, the point is here. Jesus himself is telling us, I am not going to fix all the junk in your life while you sit on the couch, eat potato chips, and watch football games and soap operas or whatever you're going to do. If I'm just going to sit around and do nothing, right, and just bump along and show up to church and everything else and not actually spend some time in the yoke with Jesus, get in my prayer closet, listen to what he's telling me needs to change in my life, you know what? I'll go to heaven someday probably. All right? But I'm not going to experience any victory here. Right? Lukewarm Christians, you ever hear this? Lukewarm Christians, they're the most miserable people on earth because they know that they can't go to bars and get drunk anymore, but they don't like going to prayer meetings. Right? They know that, okay, so I can't go do that, but I don't really want it. And just you can insert anything else other than prayer meeting. Amen, church? That's not a plug for coming to prayer. Can I get amen? Right? It's just that, like, I've got, like, 1 foot over here and 1 foot over here. We're doing, like, the spiritual hokey-pokey, you know? Like, I'm not sure what I want to do, you know? Sometimes I feel good, so I'm going to praise God. And other days I just feel like a sinner, so I'm going to just go over here and do this, you know? Just back and forth. Most miserable people on earth. Right? It's like, look, he's like, look, I'd rather have you be hot or cold, not lukewarm. You're like, whoa, what's up with that? God, Jesus himself says God would rather have you know nothing about God than know just enough to be not cold. I still don't understand that one. He says, I'm not going to spew the cold one out of my mouth, just the lukewarm one. That's messed up, isn't it? See, church, the key, the one key or a big key to getting, to finding this rest, right? The Lord, when the Lord first started showing me this section of Scripture several years ago, he said, son, can you find something if you're not looking for it? Sometimes we can, right? You ever lose your keys and you look, tear the whole house apart, and then you're just like, fine, I just give up. I'm done. And then all of a sudden, they're on the counter or something right there, you know, like the whole time. I ever tell you guys a story of losing my keys one time? And they were, this car I had one set of keys. I lost the keys, and I couldn't find them. I tore the house apart. I could not. We had a house with forced air heating. I thought the big girls were little. I thought the one of them, I was sticking my hand down the ductwork. I thought the kids, I don't know where the keys were, right? I was moving everything. And finally, I was like, Lord, this is crazy. I cannot find these keys. $300 for a new key at the dealership. I'm not doing that. I'll ride my bike to church, all right? I ain't buying a key for $300. Literally, church, the 5 minutes later, I picked up this coat off the rack, and the keys were on a hook. And Missy's like, see, those keys were the whole time. I said, babe, I picked up that coat like 6 times, okay? Those keys were not there until I just gave up, and then God put them there and didn't tell me. She's like, no. Yeah, I said, babe, I'm telling you. Literally, I would have had to grab the coat perfect, like squeeze the keys inside the coat, pull it off the hook, and then hang the keys back up inside the coat. It's not possible. Without him making noise, God was tricking me. You ever got tricky about something? Yeah? So the key, guys, the key to learning, a key to getting the finding this rest, here's my point, is that Jesus tells us here, here's how we gotta do it. We've got to learn from him. JD already preached for us, but I'm just going to back him up a little bit. Amen. We've got to learn from Jesus. Not just learn who Jesus is, but learn from him, right? When I was in Bible school, the president of the school, he's just like a super type A guy. He's like, I just got to get stuff done. I got to go, 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 go. And he says, you know what? The Lord started talking to me. The Lord started saying, I want you to just sit down and pray. He's like, you don't understand. I got stuff I got to do. You know, what about this? What about this? The Lord says, you don't need to do that right now. Well, yes, I do. The Lord says, you know what? You know what else you don't need to do? You don't need to do that other thing that you're going to do after the first thing I told you you don't need to do. You don't need to do that right now either. And he says, this guy took him months, like, because he's like, you don't understand. He's freaking out, you know. You don't understand, God. You don't understand. Finally, he says, I got quiet. I started sitting down and spending time with the Lord and listening to the Lord. He says, it was amazing how much stuff I still got done, even though I was giving the Lord more and more time. So the key, church, the phrase for learn from me, right, learn from me, the Greek phrase means to be teachable. Everybody say teachable. Teachable, right, teachable. It's the same Greek phrasing concept we see from the word disciple in the New Testament. When you see the word disciple, it's a different Greek word, but the concept is to be teachable, right? To be disciple of Jesus means I need to be teachable, right? How do we find this rest? We got to be teachable. Yeah? Here's what we need to have in order to be teachable. So an example, the gym I go to, my trainer regularly comes over to me and says, dude, you're doing this exercise wrong. Your posture's wrong. Your form's wrong. You're going too fast. You know, you just want to bang it out real fast. All this stuff. He's always, every single time I'm there, he's always something. I'm doing something wrong. You know, and it's fine. I don't know nothing. I don't want to get hurt. I want to, you know, I don't really like going to the gym. Can I get amen? Anybody likes going to the gym? There's something wrong with you, man. All right. I like the results of going to the gym. But I don't really like going there. All right. I'm driving down there. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. I don't want to go here. Amen. But if I'm going, I really want to do it right. Amen. I really want to get done. So what I realized, though, a couple months ago is I'm watching people. Now I'm learning a little bit, right? Teachable. So I'm learning. And I'm watching other people, and I'm like, wait a second. So if I'm supposed to do this, like, kind of slow like this, right? But I watch this other lady over here, and she's just banging it out. She's kind of bouncing around, and I'm like, okay, so why isn't the trainer talking to her? Like, I'm doing it right, but now she's not. So I actually asked him one time. I said, bro, what's up, man? How come you're always on me about how I'm working out, and all these other people are doing stuff you're telling me not to do? And he says, dude, look, they don't listen. He says they've been going to gym a long time. They don't. I could tell them. Don't matter what I tell them. They're not going to listen. He says, look, you do what I'm telling you to do, and I guarantee the results will be better than what they're doing. Right? You ever know this? Working out, if you go slow, you actually build more muscle than if you go fast. I think we could apply that spiritually. I think if we slow down a little bit, we'd get stronger faster than if we try to go fast, right? Pastor, I read 26 chapters of my Bible today. Okay, cool, man. Do you remember anything? Not a thing. Right? Not a thing. And 26 chapters is cool, everybody, but you know what I'm saying, right? We're going to get to a scripture here in a minute that talks about, you know, when I talk about memorizing scripture, church, I'm not talking about chapter, verse, right? Because the Bible wasn't written with chapters and verses. I'm talking about what does it say, right? It doesn't matter if you know what book it's in. That doesn't matter. None of that matters. What does the Bible say, right? And that's how we've got to get this rest in our soul, right? Because the spirit, as I said 2 weeks ago, when we're saved, born again, our spirit has to get back on the throne. The spirit of God with our spirit who's got to start talking to us and calling the shots again, right? The spirit of God is going to override the stuff in our soul. It's going to talk to us about things in our past, going to talk to us about distractions that keep coming. Church, I've had some crazy distractions the last 2 weeks, crazy stuff coming into my head, stuff I haven't thought about in years. And I'm like, what is going on? You know what the Lord says to me? This is it every time. He says, son, if there wasn't stuff trying to come at you and mess you up, then I'd be worried. Can I get amen? If you're not a threat to the devil, he's going to leave you alone. Is that right? The devil can bless you, man. Just because you bless doesn't mean you're walking with God, right? Yeah? Listen to this. Jesus himself couldn't teach folks who didn't want to be taught. I can't make someone be teachable. Each one of us has to decide that they want to learn. Right? I need to decide that I want to learn from the Lord. There's if and when I decide that every day, right, multiple times a day, church, if we decide that we're going to be teachable by the Lord, if we decide that we're going to read our Bibles and say, Lord, whatever I read today, I don't care what it is, I'm wrong and you're right. Right? If every time I have something I want to pray about, if my heart posture is I'm wrong and you're right. Church, the church in America is plagued with the opposite of that today. We got humans telling God what's right and wrong. Well, that's irrelevant. It was written a long time ago. Oh my goodness gracious. The stuff that we're doing in the church today is right in the Bible, black and white. It ain't nothing new. Can I get amen? I won't even talk about specifically what it is. Can I get amen? I'm telling you that we have got to decide that God's right and we're wrong. If there's ever a discrepancy between what I think I should do and what God says, I'm wrong. Is that good? Where turmoil gets into our souls is when we take the reins back, right? We say, that's it, I'm going to do this. I don't care what God says about it. Amen. If we decide that we'll learn from the Lord, there is no limit to what can happen. Nothing, right? No limit to the peace we can walk in, the joy that we can live in, the hope that will overflow in us and through us. Amen, church? There is nothing if we will let God drive. There's nothing we can do. Amen? The moment that I stop being teachable is the moment turmoil will start rising up in my soul. Amen? Factor number two. You guys ready? Number one is teachable. Number two is that we need to obey what we've been taught. See, it's one thing to learn something, but then I've got to apply what I've learned. All right, real simple. If you read my notes already, it's a really simple example, but here it is. If I've always thought that 2 + 2 = 5, and then I learned that 2 + 2 = 4, even though Common Core tells us something different than I think, doesn't it? But if I keep saying that it equals 5, no matter what I've learned, it's not valuable until I adjust what I thought I knew to what I now know to be true. Is that right, church? Every time the word of God, a prophetic word, something from the Lord in prayer challenges us, we've got to make a decision right there. Am I going to be number one teachable? Am I going to allow what God is saying to unwire whatever I've thought for so long, right? You know why Paul had to spend 3.5 years in the wilderness? Because Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, tribe of Benjamin, right? According to the law, he's faultless, man. I mean, this guy is a Pharisee. Paul's a Pharisee, church. He gets saved, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, spends 3.5 years in the wilderness. You want to know why? Because he had to unlearn all the stuff he knew. It wasn't just learning new stuff, it was unlearning old stuff. Right? Sometimes if we've been around long enough, we've been around a little bit, we've got to unlearn some stuff before we can learn new stuff. Yeah? I think sometimes, I talk to folks all the time, when people get married really young, they got their own set of challenges, but when folks get into their 30s or 40s or 50s and get married or maybe a second marriage, it's got a whole other set of challenges because at 35, 40 years old, you know how you do stuff, right? This is my apartment. I pay my bills. I go grocery shopping. This is my car. This is my toothpaste cap. This is my thing. This is my thing, right? So to make that relationship work, sometimes if you're 30, 40 years old, you got to unlearn some stuff to learn some new stuff. See, Missy and I, we were like kids when we got married, so we didn't know nothing. We didn't have nothing. That's got its own set of challenges. Amen. Is that all right? We have lost something. Just one statement here. We'll move on. We've lost something in the church today, and it's getting worse in some circles. Here's the truth, right? God's word is true. God's word is true. God's word is always right every time without debate. Take it to the bank, true. Right? There's a couple spots, everybody, that's maybe a little gray, right? Some of those weird prophecies and visions and stuff, maybe a little gray exactly what happens, right? We don't talk a lot about eschatology in River Valley. That's end time studies, if you don't know that word, because there's like two or three variations of that that you can find scripture to support all of them, right? 1,000 years, there's the amillennial, which means there isn't actually 1,000 years. There's premillennial, postmillennial. There's pre-rapture, post-rapture, all this stuff, right? You can find scripture to support all of it. We had a talk one time with some leaders here. We all agreed, and we were still arguing about it. Man, you want to know what our eschatology is? I'll throw it out there. If Jesus comes today, are you ready to go home? Because the Bible says we don't know when he's coming. He'll come like a thief in the night. If you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be sitting in your rocking chair with your shotgun out. Is that right, church? Jesus is going to come back like a thief in the night. It's just going to happen. Boom. No warning. Right? Could be today. Are you ready? That's good eschatology right there. Is that amen? James chapter 1. Let's turn there in your Bibles. We're going to spend a few minutes over here and do a little bit more teaching, and we're going to spend a couple weeks, more weeks probably, in this topic. There's some so much good stuff in here. You know, there, James chapter 1, this is one of my favorite sections of scripture. While you're turning there, we're going to be in verse 19, 20, 21, 22, but prior to that, excuse me, if you back up, James is talking about conflict in us, conflict among us, in the church, whatever, and he says that don't let anyone say that they're tempted by God, but each one of you is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed, right? This is all James chapter 1, right? So think about it, church, where does lust live? In my soul, not in my spirit. Lust, and that's the sex, okay? We think that's, we say lust in America, we think sex. Lust is I want something that I don't have. Right? And James describes it as you kill and murder to get it. Right? If I decide I'm gonna put a little bit of money aside to buy something I like, that's not lust. That's not lust. I'm being wise with my money. If I go buy things I can't afford consistently, that's lust. Right? Because I'm killing my financial health and my ability to give buying things I can't afford. Amen? You understand? It's just one form of it, church. Do you understand? Right? James chapter 1, verse 19. So that's all prior to this. Amen? Verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be, let's read it together, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, everybody say therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Right? So let's start in verse 22, back up. Verse 22, be doers of the word, not merely hearers only, right? Be in church. We read your Bible, pray, whatever. Okay, oh, great word, pastor, you know, whatever it is. We get excited about it, but then we leave and we don't actually do anything with what we've heard, right? That's what James is saying. Don't be like that, right? Because you delude yourself. You don't delude somebody else, he says. You delude yourself. The Greek word means to deceive, right? I'm lying to myself. Church, I'm telling you what, man, we all get here. I've gotten here. I'll probably go here again, but hopefully not, but maybe I will. Amen. When we know God has told us to do something or not do something, and we go, yeah, but can I just just for an hour? He says, no. No. Or do this, and we go, what, right now? How about tomorrow? Right, like Procrastinators Anonymous, right? We always meet tomorrow. You'll catch that in a second. Procrastinators Anonymous, we always meet tomorrow. Yeah. So, right, this is what God is saying. Look, when I speak to you, I expect you to respond. When you read something in your Bible, I expect you to respond. That is what God wants, right? Sacrifice I do not want. Obedience. I want obedience, not sacrifice, says the Lord, right? What's the New Testament version of sacrifice, church? Is repentance, right? If we sin, we don't go cut a goat in half and sprinkle blood all over everything and cook it on the grill, right? Repentance is the New Testament version of sacrifice, right? Because Jesus is our lamb. Can I get amen? Right? Jesus is the lamb. When we repent, we're calling on that sacrifice, right? But God's saying, look, it's not just like, oh, Lord, forgive me for I'm about to sin. I can do whatever. No. No, you cannot. When I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, right? Not that, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a license to sin. It's like, look, I'm human. I'm going to sin. If any of you says that they're not sinning, they're a liar, John says, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? I have an advocate, but it's not just so I can do whatever I want and I'll just repent when I'm done. So we got stuff in the church now where I'm going to do whatever I want and I don't even care if I repent or not. Oh my goodness gracious. And then we want God to show up. I think not. Amen? Do you see verse 22? Verse 21, here's the big one, right? Therefore, putting aside all, say it together with me again, all what? Filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Church, he's talking to born-again believers right there. He ain't talking to the world. Right. So he's talking to people who are blood-bought, filled with the Holy Spirit, forgiven, heaven-bound people, and he's saying, time to get your life cleaned up. Like, wait a second, Pastor. I the blood of Jesus washed me clean 22 years ago. Okay, cool. I agree with that. And he's got to keep washing you clean. Can I get amen, church? Come on, man. Has anybody been saved and had some weird thoughts in your head after you got saved? For sure. How about today? How about in the last 20 minutes, right? How about I said something 5 minutes ago you didn't like it, right? Come on, man. There's stuff in our lives, in our soul, not our spirit, our soul. Stuff, again, old ways of thinking, old ways of dealing with stuff, old ways of, I get angry, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to eat a box of Oreos. Oh, somebody was like, well, don't touch my Oreos, bro. Right? I mean, church, right? You know, we get upset, let's go watch a movie. We get upset, let's go to the gym. Come on, folks, do that. Let's get up, I'm going to go work out. Okay, cool. That's probably a healthier way of dealing with it, but that's not the God way of dealing with it. If I'm upset about something, if I'm hurt, if I'm angry, if I'm discouraged, the way that God wants me to deal with it is get in my prayer closet with God. Say, Lord, where is the root of this thing? What is it, God? Show me. Is it in me? What is wrong in my heart? What's broken in me that makes me keep thinking this way? Amen? In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The word for save right there is the same word that we use for salvation, right? But what James is saying to us, we teach this all the time, it really ties together with Paul's writings, where Paul says to work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling, right? Work it out. So what that means is like salvation has come into me by the Holy Spirit. Now I've got to work that salvation out, right? The Holy Spirit from the inside out. Pastor was preaching last Sunday, right? Not from the outside in. That's religion. You want to go from the outside in, you're not going to make it, right? This is a lot of the problems with all these programs out there. With it's... A lot of these programs, church, literally would say it like this: we try to get you to behave differently and hope that your inside catches up. Right? That's not God. God says, I'm going to fix your inside, and then that's going to work itself out. Right? And like we purify gold, right? Y'all know that as they heat it up and all the junk boils to the surface and you scoop it off the top and you do it again and again and again, right? It's a process. Is that good? James is saying to us, how does the process work? The process works by us in humility receiving the word implanted. Implanted. Everybody say implanted, right? The best picture, y'all, some of you maybe have had this done already, but the best word for picture for an implant is to go to the dentist, right? And they take out an old rotten tooth or an old busted up tooth and they put an implant in, right? It is a permanent, they drill it right into your jawbone, right? That baby's never coming out, amen? And here's the thing that's interesting about it. Really, if you think about what James is saying, receive the word implanted in humility. He's saying, look at this. You've only got so much room in your soul. Yeah, just picture your jaw, right? There's 20, however many teeth are in your mouth. I don't know how many there is, right? But if you're going to get an implant, they've got to remove something to put the new thing in. If you're going to get implants, they're not just going to keep going up your cheekbone and stick teeth way back up inside your face somewhere, amen? They've got to remove something that's old, something that's rotten, something that's broke down, something that's decayed, something that's making you sick even, something that's causing you pain. That's got to come out, and then they can put the new thing in. The Lord says the same thing happens in your soul. See, we want to hang on to stuff. We want to hang on to the old broke down stuff. We want to hang on to this happened to me and that happened to me and that, da, 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 da. And we want the new stuff to come in. And God says, no. You don't understand. There's only so much room. You've only got the capacity for so much stuff in your soul. So either some stuff's got to come out so new stuff can come in, or there ain't no new stuff coming in. That's it. Is that good, church? He talks about to what? Be renewed, Paul says, in the spirit of your mind, though, isn't it? Spirit of your mind. Your mind is part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Amen? See, the level of rest that we walk in is directly proportional to how much of God's word has been implanted in our soul. The more of his truth that finds a permanent home in my heart, the more rest I walk in. That's good. The more of his word finds a permanent place of rest in my soul, the more rest I walk in. Right? My Bible teacher used to say it like this. He taught a whole set of classes on the law. Right? And we know that as New Testament Christians, we don't live according to the law, right? Because Jesus satisfied the law. Amen? But he says, you know what I use the law for? He goes, I use the law so if I'm having a bad day, I know that I can't kill anybody. Okay, thou shalt not murder. Check. Right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, so if my marriage is really not going good, I know that I can't go there. Check. Right? Can I get amen, church? Like, sometimes we're just a little bit off our game. Is that right? But the word of God is what's got to be in there saying, no. You're not going there. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do this. Amen? Turn with me to Matthew 4. We're going to wrap up in just a few minutes here. I want to show you something that I don't think you've ever thought about, but it's really, really powerful. And this is something that I'm working on, church, so I'm not up here because I got it figured out, amen? Matthew 4, verse 1, we all know this, but let's read through it, and then I'll give you something in wrapping up here that I know will bless you. Y'all there? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. How many people want to be led by the Holy Spirit now? After he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Isn't that interesting, church? Anybody fasted for more than a few days? You're hungry right away, right? So how's he hungry after 40 days? I think he's hungry for something other than pizza. Yeah? After he's done fasting, he became hungry, right? What's he hungry for? And verse 3, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, let's read it together, church. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. So now the devil's quoting the Bible back to Jesus, right? Jesus said to him, verse 7, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. So let me, before I drive this point home, let me try to paint a little something here that we've got to catch too. In Philippians chapter 2, we won't go there, but Philippians chapter 2 is where we see this story about the section where Paul describes Jesus leaving heaven to become the Savior, right? And he says that he did not count equality with God something to be grasped onto, but he emptied himself, took on the form of a bondslave, and became obedient to the point of death, right? It talks about Jesus stripping himself of his deity. Amen? So one thing that I know I struggled with for a really, really long time, because I'd read stories about Jesus and I'd be like, well, of course he could do that because he's God. Of course he can do that because he's God. Of course he can do that. And for me, it was just this like, well, I could never do that because I'm not God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what Philippians tells us, church, and we see there's a verse that I'll tie together in just a moment here, right at the end of what we just read. Paul's telling us in Philippians that Jesus was not necessarily, and as far as power is concerned, like God in the flesh. If you think that's blasphemous, just hang on for one moment, or I'm not blaspheming anything. But if we read through Philippians 2, it's when Jesus became obedient to the point of death, it says, for this reason also God gave him a name that was above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is God, right? So if Jesus received the name that was above every other name in Philippians 2, then that means he did not currently have it. Right, like Pastor Al said last Sunday, he gave me his Bible, right? And then he says, ask me for my Bible. So I asked him again, says, I can't give it to you because I already gave it to you. So if Jesus at that moment, is Jesus walking on the earth prior to dying on the cross, church, if he already had the name above every name then God could not give it to him. Right? Jesus earned the name that's above every other name by becoming obedient to the point of death, is what Paul says in Philippians 2. It's black and white. You can't read it and mess that up. Can I get amen? So here's my point. If Jesus was walking on the earth up to the point of his death, he's not walking in this fullness of glory from the heavens. Can I get amen? He's literally a human, right? And he's anointed by the Holy Spirit. That means that what Jesus did as a human anointed by the Holy Spirit, you and I can do as a human anointed by the Holy Spirit. Right? Oh, I can't do that because I'm not Jesus. You know what? You can actually do more than what Jesus did when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, because that's what he said. Is that right? So, here's, why did I say all that? Because look at verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to Jesus. Church, if he was not weak, he would not need angels ministering to him. Whoa. Guess what? Jesus seated at the right hand of God, there are no angels ministering to him up there. They worship him up there. They're not helping him. You understand what I'm saying? So if the angels came and ministered to Jesus, then what's going to happen to us when we do what I'm about to tell you that we need to do? they're going to come minister to us too. Is that good? So what we know here, church, is that Jesus quoted Scripture all three times. Is that right? Okay, the devil comes and says, hey, you know, you're hungry, so if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Jesus doesn't go, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? He is filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not his argument. That's not how he fights back. Can I get amen, church? Right? He doesn't say, I just come have a prayer meeting. I just got done reading my Bible. I just got done in a worship service. No, he's quoting the word of God. That's how he fights the devil. Is that right? So we know that he quotes the devil. He quotes the word of God to fight the devil. Number two, he's quoting the law all three times, church. All three times he's quoting out of Deuteronomy. It's like chapter 6 and chapter 20 if you go study it out. Right? He's quoting the law in resisting the temptation of the devil. Is that good? So what's the point? The point is we need to read our Bibles. We need to know the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, not just the cool stuff that tells us how nice we are and how much God loves us. We need to read all this stuff, right? We need to read everything in the Bible, be able to quote, I know the Word of God says this. Amen? Here's the third one that maybe you guys have never thought about. I've always seen it for years and years and years. I've always heard it preached that when Jesus talks back to the devil, answers the devil, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God, that Jesus is rebuking the devil. But you know what the Lord said to me a couple years ago? He says, son, who was the law written to? Not the devil. The law was given to humans. The law was given to the Israelites. The law's written to you. You know what Jesus is talking to? He's talking to himself. He's not yelling at the devil. He sees the temptation. He's weak. He's hungry, right? We don't know what he's hungry for, but he's hungry for something. This temptation comes, and he says, you will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. You. Not you, you. Do you see it, church? He says, you will not put the Lord your God to the test. You will not tempt the Lord your God, right? You will worship the Lord and him only. You will not worship that thing. You will not bow down to that. Amen, church? What am I saying? What I'm saying, church, is that sometimes I think we get so caught up in taking the scriptures and rebuking the devil with it. But you know what? If we rebuke our flesh, the devil's got nothing to grab onto. Sometimes we need to get in the Bible and look in the mirror and say, shut up. Stop yelling out the door to shut up. I mean, we need to do that sometimes too, but can I get amen, church? Sometimes it's how we are thinking that gets us in trouble. It's stuff we start thinking, oh, man, I just did it. Church, I'm telling you what I shared with you during worship, it hit me so hard this morning. Just like I felt just unhappy. And it's so weird because I look at my life and I'm like, what on earth do I have to be unhappy about? What on earth? Like, so it's not me. Like, I'm not unhappy. Can I get amen? Like, I've got a beautiful wife. We've got beautiful kids. We live in a house. There's lots of folks who don't have a house to live in. Got to drive cars, right? I got food on the table. Can I get it? I'm healthy, right? I mean, what on earth could I possibly be unhappy about? But it's all this stuff, man, right? Take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Church, sometimes thoughts start sneaking in the back door and we got to catch those things before they start running around in there. Right? Man. And it was just like, I just felt terrible. I'm like, I don't want to go to church today. And it was like, I really didn't want to go to church. It wasn't just like, I don't feel like going to church. It was like, I'm not even worthy to be standing up in front of people this morning because of the weird junk going on in my head. But that's the trick of the devil. Separate, back away, don't show up, isolate yourself. Don't talk about it. Don't share. Don't be vulnerable. Don't do the, you know, and you know what? Watch National Geographic. How does a lion kill a wildebeest? Isolate one, dead. You get away from the pack, you're dead. Every time, church, right? What's the devil want to do with us? Get some stuff in our head where we start thinking weird stuff. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm just going to eat worms, right? That's it. Man, we've got to start recognizing that stuff and say, man, this is not true. This is not true. This is not true. But we got to know what is true to fight off what's not true. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And I know, you know what, church, I know we heard Kathy and JD, a few folks sharing. Just raise your hand. If you feel like you're going through a battle right now, like the last month or two, like it's just kicking up stronger, just be honest, man. Just raise your hand. My hands are up. Yeah? Think about it like this. If you were not a threat to the devil, he'd leave you alone. Right? So if stuff's coming at me trying to get me off track and derail me and discourage me and disqualify me and all kinds of weird stuff, maybe, just maybe, I'm right on the doorstep of a breakthrough. Amen? Yes. Come on up here. We can't hear you. Oh, yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. So for the recording in our audio and online, somebody just shared a scripture, James 5:16, which says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. So Lord, we just thank you this morning for the power of your word. Lord, as we shared during worship, we were talking about Christians in China, different areas of the world, getting Bibles and just weeping. Forgive us, oh God. Some of us got stacks of Bibles at home and hardly crack them open. We got so much at our fingertips in America, God. We should be, with all the stuff we have access to, we should be just completely consumed with you. We've got so much stuff. We could jump on YouTube and find any preacher we want to listen to. Lord, it seems like we've become dull of hearing in the church in America. We're sleeping. But Holy Spirit, we're asking today that you would get down there, wake us up again. Call us in the middle of the night, Lord. Call us early in the morning. Wake us up, Lord. We want to read just simple. Just get a cup of coffee and open our Bible. Just say, Lord, just talk to me. I'm here, God. I'm wrong and you're right. Whatever you want to say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. So, Father, we come, as James said, we're asking that this week, Lord, that we'd start coming back to the scriptures, coming back to our prayer closets with a new sense, a new level, a new anointing of humility. The Greek word church just means gentle, right? That I need to come and have a gentle heart before the Lord. I receive it gently. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to push it away. But when I read the scriptures, I'm going to receive them gently. This is life to me. So Lord, we receive your word today. We receive a new anointing of your spirit in our prayer closets, in our personal time with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Our community group will be eating shortly, so please stay. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, guys, please come on up. We'd love to lay hands on you and agree with you for God's glory in your life. Amen. Bless you.